Please, one of these days, I am going to leave it all behind. And I'm not looking back either. I tell you, only a fool would look back. That's right. And I'm not looking back. I'm looking up and looking on, but I'm not looking back. And praising God for His goodness to us right here in the land of the living. Well, I'm going to try to bring a thought. I'll be honest, I don't know how to preach. I've not felt preachy all day. I'll say a little more about that in a minute. And don't feel preachy right now. I'll just be quiet. Where are we at, Brother Robert? All right. And don't feel real preachy right now. But I've got a Sunday school lesson here. I'm going to give you that and see what God might. And literally, it is a Sunday school lesson. I did this and preached this some time ago in Sunday school. And I'm going to try to bring the thought again in the service tonight. Psalm 65, please, in your Bibles this evening. Psalm number 65 in the Word of God. When you find it, let's stand together. And we'll try to read a few verses and bring the thought that the Lord has laid on our heart. I feel like that this may be the will of God for tonight. Psalm number 65, and begin reading in verse number 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Thy terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. If you'll pray with me and for me, we'll try to bring the thought and get you. I don't think anybody is going off to the New Year's Eve party anywhere tonight. I hope you ain't going to no New Year's Eve bash. I wouldn't think you would. I don't think anybody would be here tonight with a party on their mind more than the house of God. I hope nobody is. I'm sure not. Amen. The only party I'm going to in a little bit may be a little popcorn to pop at the house. Amen. And Freddie and the Bible. And then that bed back in that back room. Hallelujah. And wake up in the morning now with my head feeling just the same size as it feels right now. That's right. I woke up a few mornings, my head felt like a wash tub on New Year's Day. But that's not going to be the occasion in the morning unless God strikes me with a sinus infection between now and then. And I'm not expecting that. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God this night. I want to thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the hymns that we've been able to sing and enjoy. Thank you for thy people and their faithfulness tonight to the house of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts as your children and help us tonight, Father, as we stand to try to say something that will encourage the people of God. I pray that you'll revive the church and get glory to yourself. Ask you now to touch me, fill me with the Spirit of God, give me power, give me unction, give me liberty to say everything that ought to be said in this service, nothing more and nothing less, and we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you for it, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I started searching the will of God on Monday for our service tonight. I try to do that and try at least a week ahead of time if I can, and sometimes it don't always work out that way. And if you're not a preacher, you don't really won't understand altogether what I'm saying. I'm sure some of these men in here will. But there's times that you can get a thought on your heart, and that thought just don't click and develop for you. And I thought about earlier in the week preaching out of John's Gospel, where John the Baptist said that he must increase, but I must decrease. And I thought that'd be a good thought, Christ being formed in us, And we decreasing in our lives, and the Lord showing up more and more all the time. And I tried to work on that and develop it a little while, and it didn't seem like it was going to click. And so I continue reading on, and came to John and on the thought in John 12 that we've got on the sign out front, sirs, we would see Jesus. And I thought about preaching on seeing Jesus in various ways in the Bible. And again, that thought did not click down in my heart. You know, and there are a number of ways in the Bible and various ways that men saw Him. Paul, writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2, he said, but we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for suffering and death, but He's crowned with glory and honor. And I thought about Paul seeing Him stooping. He said He was made a little lower. And I'm glad that he did humble himself and became obedient unto death. But Isaiah didn't see Him stooping, but he did see Him sitting on His throne high and lifted up. And then I thought about Stephen, that mighty man of God, full of faith and truth. And the Bible says about him that as he was going out of this world, that he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so one man saw Him stooping, one man saw Him sitting, one man saw Him standing. But I couldn't get any peace out of that. And I'll be honest, I just began to sort through some of the old texts that I preach from. And I began to pray about this text and thought I'd preach to you for a little while tonight out of verse number 5. I preached on prayer on Sunday morning. And I want to touch on that subject again in the service tonight. And I'm sure that you men and maybe, I don't know, maybe you women too, may have already heard this, but I'm confident that the men have. But I want to preach there where Brother David says, thy terrible things in righteousness, thou will answer us, O God. And I want to preach for a little while tonight, if God will help me, on terrible answers to prayers. Terrible answers to prayers. You know, I said on Sunday morning that God always answers our prayers, but God does not always answer our prayers the way that we think He ought to. But God will answer them in a way that will bring maximum glory to His name and the greatest blessing and benefit to the people of God. I want to say you better be careful how you pray, really. You better be mean business with the Lord when you begin to pray. Because as a child of God, He will grant us those things that will bless us and help us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But He may not always bring that about in a way that is pleasing to the flesh, nor in a way that we think that God ought to. I want to simply begin tonight by saying there's two different kinds of prayer. There is public prayer, and then there is private prayer. And we try to have public prayer here in the house of God. And we get up on our knees and make our request to the Lord. But I want to say, my friend, the best praying that you'll ever do is in that closet of private prayer, where you can pour out your heart before God, where you can pour out your complaint before God, and not be worried or concerned about someone else hearing what you've got to say. I'll be quite honest, there are some things in my life that I pray about that you don't need to know anything at all about. Amen. I wouldn't want to hang my dirty laundry out in your presence, but I'm flesh like everybody else. I've got sin in my life like everybody else, and I want to get it right with Almighty God. And so I get in to that closet of prayer. I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful time when you can seal away in the presence of God and close that door behind you. And the Bible said, if we'll pray to God in secret, He that heareth us in secret will reward us openly. You know, I think it'd be good just to close that closet sometime and pray and never tell anybody anything about what we're praying for. That's a sure way to find out if God's answering your prayer. And that's a sure way to find out if you're a child of God. I'm going to tell you, God can work in wonderful ways. I marvel at these missionaries that are always writing letters, and somewhere in that letter, they're going to tell you how many thousands of dollars they've got to have on the mission field. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that has the power to convey to somebody's heart every dime they need. And there's a God in heaven that can convey to somebody's heart every dime this church needs, every dime this ministry needs, every dime WSOF needs. I tell you, do us well to find a place inside the confines of this church in the four walls and cry out to a holy God that He might bless us, my friend, with the need that we have. And God will surely hear and answer our prayers and meet our need. And so there's public praying, and then there's private praying. And then I want to say, secondly, and this may sound strange, but bear with me for a little while, that we never learn by being taught what we already know. A lot of people got the idea that whatever God wants to teach us, it ought to be something that we already know. But that's not the case. You don't teach a kindergarten student how to work algebra, friend. They're just not going to know how to work algebra. But I tell you, as they grow and get through school and learn, and their mind begins and their brain begins to grow, it's not long till they can learn that algebra. Ain't that right, girls? Amen. They can learn that algebra. But they've got to be taught that. They don't know anything about pi r squared when they're little, and very few of us know anything about pi r squared now. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, we've got to be taught that. And if we're going to learn that, mark it down, it is going to have some opposition. Every time there's something God wants to teach us, something we need to learn, there is always going to be opposition to it. You're not going to grow in grace, and you're not going to mature without confronting some kind of opposition. There's always going to be a devil somewhere standing around the corner, and the flesh is always there to oppose you. And God knows, my friend, the best ways there is for you and I to grow in grace and knowledge of Him. And we might pray and ask God to give us growth, and when He answers that prayer, it might astound us and amaze us at the way God treats us in answering that prayer. Are you hearing me? He don't always answer our prayers the way we think He ought to. But the Bible said there that by terrible things, in righteousness, wilt thou answer us, O God. Now, please notice in verse 5. God is a prayer answering God. For Him to hear, we must first pray. For Him to hear, we must first pray. You know, we have not many times because we ask not. Now, I'm amazed at people that are always complaining about this and about that, and about not having things in life that they want or that they desire. But I'm wondering tonight if we really ask God for those things. If we ask Him, do we really ask Him for joy? Have we really prayed and asked God to make us happy? Have we really prayed and asked God to give us power? I'm going to tell you, friend, God knows how to make us happy. And if we'll pray for God to make us happy, He will eventually do it. But I'm telling you, it may not come by the way that we want it to. We may have to turn loose of some things, and He may add some things in order to make us happy. Now, I'm telling you, happiness is not in the things that we possess. Everybody's got the idea to be happy. They've got to have two new automobiles and a big home and a big income and a good bank account. But I'm telling you, friend, that happiness is not found in the abundance of those things that we possess. I'll assure you that. Happiness is not found in having a people all around us. That's right. I used to think I had to have people all around me in order to be happy. But I've learned some of the happiest times in my life is sitting at the house with a glass of cold ginger ale, sitting in front of Fred, my feet cocked up, amen, and with my King James 16 Bible in my hand, and nobody around to bother me. Oh, Miss Hall's there, but she don't bother me. She's quiet as a mouse all the time anyway. Don't have to worry much about her bothering me. But God will answer prayer. And for Him to hear our prayer, hear us, we're going to have to pray. And if we pray, we know that He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, that we have those things that we petition Him for. The Bible said in 1 John 5:14-15, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Old Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "God's memorial is that He hears prayer, and His glory is that He answers prayer in a manner fitted to inspire awe in the hearts of His people." I'm telling you, God will answer our prayers in a way that will stir up our hearts and cause us to lift our hand into heaven and praise Him for what He's done. I won't say this, and I hope nobody will take offense at it, but I've watched Sister Woodard, and I'm telling you, friend, I've watched her for a long time, and I thought she might be one of them going to get the carpet burns on her lower lip. I'm telling you, she's been through some things. Amen to God. But I'm telling you, through it all, my friend, I've seen a smile come on her face and a testimony in her heart. I've seen her get stirred up a little bit around the house of God. Somebody said, "What are you saying, preacher?" I've seen God working in her life. But I'm telling you, the experience that she's had to go through in order to have that smile, in order to have that tear, in order to have that brokenness, didn't come by happy experience. Absolutely not. I'll guarantee you she'd have rather had it some other way. But God knows what to use and who to use to touch our hearts, my friend, in such a way that when it's all said and done, we'll have to lift our hands toward heaven and say, "God did it all. He's worthy of my praise. And I want to thank Him for what He's doing." Amen. He'll not work in a way where we can get the glory out of it. He'll work in a way where He will get the glory out of it. And if you're not right careful, you'll put the brakes on Him and you'll be the misser. You'll be the loser if you ain't right careful, buddy. I'm going to tell you, when God starts, you better just let Him alone and let Him work. He loves us too much to ever do us wrong. Woo! And He's too wise to make a mistake. And God's going to work in our hearts for our good and His glory if we'll let Him. Amen. That's right. Spurgeon says that the saints, in the commencement of this psalm, they offered praise in reverential silence. And now, in like awe-stricken spirit, they receive answers to their prayers. Now, I tell you, there's nothing like sitting awe-stricken before God and seeing God unfold your life before you and bring things to pass that is absolutely glorious and wonderful and blessed in your life. I'm going to tell you, friend, I've been trying to serve Him faithfully now, real faithful, since 1978. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've seen my life unfold in a marvelous way. I never dreamed that God would ever make me happy the way He's made me happy. But I'm telling you, I've seen my life unfold in the presence of God. Somebody said, "How'd you get there?" I had to lose my life in order to find it. Now, I'm telling you, friend, that's the only way you'll be happy is if you lose your life and let God find your life for you. It'll make you happy in Him, and it may not be a doing what you wanted to do, where you wanted to do it, how you wanted to do, but God will bring her to pass in your life. I'd say that trip to the belly of the whale didn't set too well with Jonah. But God knew what it took, didn't He? Knew what it took to get him to preach. Amen. Had Daniel never purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself, and had Daniel never went in the den of lions, Daniel would have never been the spiritual man he was to receive the revelation that he did from God in chapter number 9. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better all the time. Amen. God answers prayers, but not always in the manner that we expect. We may seek sanctification We may ask God to make us holy. And God may send a trial our way. Maybe the reply of that. God, make me holy. I'm going to tell you, ain't too many people ever been made holy without going through the fiery trials of faith, buddy. You're going to have to get out in the fire and let the fire burn a little bit of that old man out of you and burn a little bit of sin out of you. Amen! And turn up the burner and let it burn a little bit of the wild out of you and a little bit of the wildliness and wickedness out of you in your life. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I want to be holy. Hang on then, son. I'm telling you, getting ready to head down a bumpy, rough, rocky road. Because everybody that has ever had been gotten out of God and been made holy in the Lord has had a rocky road in front of them to travel. You look at some of God's dearest servants. They have walked through some of the deepest valleys and darkest hours and fieriest trials that any man's ever walked through. That is right. I could take you to a number of them in the Bible. Old Jeremiah. We could talk about Jeremiah in that well. Daniel in the den of lions. Elijah under the juniper tree. And Moses on the backside of the desert. Jacob being run off out of his own land in fear of his own brother. My friend, right on and right on and right on. But you're not going to get anywhere with God without going through some deep trials and some fiery trials to burn the dross out of you to make you holy in the presence of God. Some of y'all are looking at me like a calf in a new gate. I'm going to tell you, some of you have been on easy street. Yay, man. Some of you are rocking down an easy road tonight, buddy. God knows how to bring you to your knees and make you pray. And you ain't never been made holy and sanctified without prayer. But God may answer that prayer of holiness, taking you down a road, bumpy road, my friend, in order to get you there. Amen. That is exactly right. We ask for more faith, and more affliction may be the result. We pray for spreading the gospel, and persecution scatters us. I've been praying for God to spread the gospel and save sinners ever since I've been here. And I've not seen many saved here, but I've seen men go out of this church. And I'm seeing the fruit of that prayer on different hands and in a different way than I ever dreamed. I thought, Lord, if we pray for souls to be saved, surely we'll see this building filled up, that baptistry full, and the pews are running over with the saints of God. But rather, old Brother Mike called me the other day, said, preacher, just wanted to call and wish you a Merry Christmas. I said, how's things going? He said, you wouldn't believe it. Said, we had 50 in church Sunday. I said, glory to God. And there's old Brother Smith down there preaching now, doesn't have two or three down yonder say. There's Brother Crawford up here running 50, 45, 50, 55, and he's had some people say. Old Brother Steve over there running a handful and had a few people say. Brother Messick up in Canada, and he's had a few people say. Somebody said, well, God is answering prayer, my friend. But He's answering it in a terrible fashion that will cause us to praise God. And He's not answering the prayer the way I thought He would. Come on. Amen. I don't know whether Miss Ruth back there ever prayed for a husband. I'm serious now. I don't know if she ever prayed for children. But I'm going to tell you, I think that she probably has. And there ain't been none come out of her womb yet. But God, ever since I've been in this church, I've always found a multitude of children hanging around her dress tail. We had a little gathering back there in the back some time ago, and We were sitting there eating, and I looked up. It wasn't a child. We had made that little old table up there, put all them little chairs around it for all them little kids, and there wasn't one child sitting around that table. Guess who was sitting there? Ms. Ruth. I said, why, my heart, why is she sitting at that table like that for that little chair? And it wasn't long till there's all them little old boys and girls was up there around that table. Now, ain't that good, Brother Leroy? And I thought to myself, God hadn't given her any children out of the womb, but God has blessed her now for at least 15 years with having children around her in her presence every day that she might be blessed by them and be a blessing to them. I marvel at what God does. And how He answers prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. What a great God we have. Nevertheless, I'm going to tell you, it's always good to ask on, for nothing which the Lord grants in His love can do us any harm. It's not going to hurt us one bit, friend. Not one bit. Terrible things will turn out to be blessed things, after all, when they come in the answer to a prayer. Doesn't matter how terrible they are, if you will look. And I guarantee you that God's answered some of your prayers in a terrible way and you ain't even realized it. You have prayed and asked God to do something for you and God's done it, but in a deeper, mysterious way that you have failed to recognize in your life.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, better keep a spiritual eye out for Him. The way He works, friend. He does work in mysterious ways.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you right. Patty back there's had a battle, and I'm just preaching my heart to you right now. Patty back there's had a pretty rough time with them boys of hers. Ain't it right or wrong? Patty, right, ain't it? And I don't know what's going to happen out of them with them boys, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I've seen growth. I've seen spirituality out of it. I've seen help from God out of it. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Hall, God would never let them boys go astray in order to do something for her. Who said He's going to let them go on that way?
Right.
Son, God's got a way, brother, of working things out in people's lives. And I'm confident if her and her family in this church will stay on their face before God for those boys that somewhere down the line, God will get a hold of their heart and do something for them. Amen. Somebody said, are they saved? I don't know. Only God knows that. But I know one thing. They ain't very spiritual if they are. But I know one that's able to do it. Amen to God. Now I'm gonna, and come on in the house. Now, we just preaching a while close at hand tonight. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God, they had to use that in order to get her where she could be right with them. Are you listening? Just misunderstand God. Now listen carefully. I've got about five things and I'm done. We'll be out here in just a little while. There's five things we might pray for that God might answer it in a terrible way. Terrible answers to prayers. May I say that we might pray that we might love others. We ought to love other people, shouldn't we? And I have prayed it. I'm going to tell you, and this one, when I pinned this down, oh man, how God brought some things to my mind. Lord, help me to love somebody. And I'm going to tell you, God may teach us to love somebody, and here comes the opposition. Remember a while ago when I was talking about knowledge, and it's always got its opposition? Here I am praying for God to help me to love people. That takes more knowledge on my part and more knowledge of that book. And you know what the Lord may do? He may answer it by sending us enemies. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. Oh, no, I'm not crazy. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. And bless them, my friend, that curse you and do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. We'll never learn to love one another right until we can love our enemies as ourselves. And I started asking God to help me to love people. Huh? What are you going to do when He says, how are you going to love your enemies? Now, I'm going to tell you, you'll never learn to love an enemy till you're opposed by that enemy.
until your past cross, and that enemy is right before you, you'll never learn to love him until he is.
Amen.
God has got to bring them across our pathway of life.
Amen.
If we're ever going to learn to love them. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to have to oppose us. They're going to have to be mean to us. They're going to have to try to use us. Oh, come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm going to tell you, that's not an easy thing to do. But to love somebody that you know is out to get a hold of you and undermine you, those that criticize you, mock you.
Amen.
It's not easy to love somebody like that.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. I thought I loved my children until they got rebellious. See, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. Jesus said, do not even the publicans the same thing?
Amen.
Well, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. It's easy for a daughter to love a mother that loves her. It's easy for a boy to love a daddy that loves him. It's easy for a pastor to love somebody in the church that he knows loves them. But I'm going to tell you, it's hard for a man of God and you too to love somebody sitting in the house of God when you know that they despise the ground that you walk on and would rather see you in a casket than standing in a pulpit of preaching. And God says you've got to love your enemy. Come on in the house. Well, Lord, I want to love everybody. Love everybody. Makes me love everybody. It's good enough for me. Hallelujah to God. Many times in spiritual warfare, those who offend our hearts and withstand us become our enemies in the house of God. And we must learn to love them. The Lord will use our enemies to teach us that great virtue of love. I'm going to tell you, though he were a son, yet by the things that he suffered, he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. It didn't come easy to that 200 probably plus pound of flesh that was hanging on the cross when the heart cried out, Father, forgive them! For they know not what they do. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, he wasn't flesh. Oh, he was 100% man and 100% God, my friend.
Amen.
Tested in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Oh, yes. He had to conquer that flesh on the cross in order to love that man that spit in his face, to love that man that poked his side with a spear, that man that blindfolded him and then smacked him on the cheek and said, prophesy. Tell me who it was that smote you, if you're the Son of God. And grabbed him by the hair of his face and plucked it out. Oh, yes, sir, friend. He had to learn to love his enemies. You better believe it. You better believe it. Amen. That word enemy means somebody that's hostile. Something that's offensive to the senses. Somebody that is disgusting. Amen. I'm going to tell you what it'll do. Help you. I've already mentioned help you conquer the flesh.
Amen.
It'll overcome hatred. I'm going to tell you, you can love your enemy. You won't have a hard problem loving the preacher.
Amen.
You won't have a hard problem loving somebody sitting next to you. You men, if you learn to love your enemy, you won't have a hard time loving your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen. Produces a Christ-like love, and it has great reward. He said in Matthew 5:46, if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same. Come on in the house now. We ain't done yet. Got about 3 or 4 more points to go. I would say, hey, secondly, we might pray for liberty. We all want liberty in a Christian service, don't we? I pray for it every time I pray. I pray up here, Lord, give us liberty in this place. Brother Wayne, I believe he's answered that prayer.
Amen.
Not the way I want him to. You see, sometimes we'll pray for liberty, and the Lord may lead us into the wilderness and entangle us in the wilderness to teach us about liberty.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you're crazy. Am I really? Can you see those Jews down in bondage? Barefoot in the pits of mud making bricks with and without straw. And a fellow with a black snake whip over their backs. Driving them on, driving them on, driving them on. And them crying out, "Oh, I would to God that I could find some liberty. I wish I was free from this." Come on in the house, children. God just hit a strong note. Remember how it was when you was in sin? Or do you remember how it is as a child of God? Is there sin in your life? And you say, "Oh, Lord, I would to God that I could conquer and overcome this sin and get it out of my life." What you're saying is, "Lord, give me some, emancipate me from this sin. Give me liberty. Free me from this sin that has got a hold in my life." You know what God may do, like He done them? He may lead them right straight out into the wilderness. The Bible says this in the book of Exodus 15:22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And there, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. "Lord, I want free from that mess down there." "Okay, we'll take you out here in the wilderness to teach you a few things, what liberty is all about." And I'm going to tell you something. Come on now. I'm trying to get this out the best way I can. If God will ever free you from sin in your life, He'll have to entangle you somewhere for you to appreciate just exactly what God's done for you. Nobody appreciates anything handed to them on a golden platter. Can I just give this to you? You know why some of the families in this church struggle with homeschooling and never get right about homeschooling and never have the victory in their life over homeschooling? I'm going to tell you why. Because this church has always handed you an education on a silver platter. And you ain't never had to pay a dime for it. If you don't have to pay a dime for it, buddy, you don't ever see the value. If it don't cost you something, you ain't never going to see the value of it. That's exactly right. That is exactly why some of y'all can lay in Walmart stores rather than being at home schooling during the day, and that's why you let your kids skimp and get by and cheat and everything else in order to get by. I won't charge you a thing for that. That is just an absolute fact, buddy. If God will ever give you liberty from that mess, He'll have to entangle you in it to prove to you the blessedness of being free from it. That's right. I want to say thirdly, pray for patience. I remember standing at Bible Baptist Church several years ago, boy, and the Holy Ghost on me heavy, and He was saying, "You know you need patience." The Holy Spirit said, "You know you need patience." And Brother Nolan had always said, "Don't ever pray for patience. Don't ever pray for patience." I said, Lord, I'm not going to pray for that. He said, "You better pray for that. You know you need patience." And I got down there in the pew and I said, "Lord, you know I need patience. Let me have some patience." And tribulation worketh patience. That's right. There ain't very many people that don't need it. Even those of you that are cool, calm, and collected, like my wife and some of you others in here, that don't seem to ever get impatient about anything, you ain't really got patience. Some of you just think you've got patience. You ain't really got no patience yet. Can I give you this, and I've preached this here a number of years, but real patience is not the same as being long-suffering with our fellow man. Patience has to do with our ability to wait on God. We have patience toward God. We're long-suffering toward men. There's a big difference. There is a big difference. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been preaching my heart tonight, and I've been preaching to you. I might as well preach about me for a little while. I'm just going to be honest. Had God a long time ago not took me through some tribulations and trials with my own family and with others around me, I'd have done run my fist that far down some preacher's throat. Telling it right, friend. Not only that, if I hadn't learned some patience, I'd have been like a Hank Snow, son, from that place a long time ago, and I'd have been moving on somewhere else. I guarantee you, I was about to get that frustrated here recently. I thought, my God, if you don't break something loose over there for long, I'm gone. The Lord said, where are you going, Buckwheat? Well, I don't know. I'll go somewhere. That may not be good, Mr. Hall. Are you getting what I'm saying? Patience. Wait on God. Some of y'all think that Rome was built in a day. Some of you young couples think that you ought to have everything that mom and daddy's got. You've been married 3 or 4 years and think you ought to have everything mom and daddy's got. Can I tell you this, that I was 43 years old before I ever owned a home. I was an aged man before I ever owned a real new automobile. And some kids, that's why some of you wind up in debt on them stupid credit cards and things, because you cannot wait on God to do for you what God can and wants to do for you.
Right.
I'm going to say something else. Some of you ain't got any patience with your children. Should I say long-suffering with your children? Some of you husbands need to learn to be patient with your wives. Some of you wives need to be patient with your husbands. I'm going to tell you, there's somebody in here that needs to be patient with in-laws and outlaws. Amen. Rome wasn't built in a day. It takes a while to accomplish some things in your life. Hallelujah. Patience. That is not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. That word shed abroad means to be gushing out. And I'm going to tell you, if you learn to wait on God, friend, and learn a little bit of patience, and that patience experience and experience will give you hope, and you get where you're unashamed of God, that Holy Ghost will just flow out of you like rivers of living water. A lot of people don't wait to get there. I'm going to be honest with you, they ain't very thin people. Got enough patience to wait on God while He builds a little bit of Christian character in their life and teaches them some things about the Bible and teaches them how to live and how to overcome and how to walk with God in humility of spirit. That's right. You're not going to become a great Christian in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. 10 years. Charles Spurgeon preached I don't know how many years. At least 40 plus. And when he's ready to die, he said, I feel like maybe I might have just now touched the hem of his garment.
Amen.
Are you listening? It takes a while.
Amen.
Kind of like Effie. It takes her a while to get there. Amen. I want to say fourthly, and I've already touched on this some, but we may pray, ask the Lord to make us happy. And the Lord may allow us to experience heaviness. That's right. You see, in order to gain anything, you've got to overcome something. And if you're going to be happy, you're going to have to overcome sorrow. And God may send things in our life to bring sorrow and bring happiness and bring sadness in order to teach us how to get over it. Be careful when you say, Lord, make me happy. He may break your heart and make you sad before you ever get happy.
Amen.
That's right. Wherein you greatly rejoice, James Peter said in Peter 1:6, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. You greatly rejoice, but now you're awful, awful, awful heavy. Through manifold temptations. My brethren, look here. Count it all joy.
Amen.
When you fall into diverse temptations.
Amen.
I'll close with this. You pray for faith. Lord, make me a man or a woman of great faith.
Amen.
And God may have to test you, sending a little fear your way. When old brother Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, bid me to walk to you on the water," Jesus said, "Come on, Peter." Got out on that water and got to walking, but when he saw the waves and the wind, "Help! What's the matter, Peter? I'm going to drown, Lord." I don't know too many people that ain't afraid of drowning. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to overcome our fear by our faith. That's right. God may bring things into our life. And Brother Steve mentioned this, I'll just touch on it. Is that right or not, Brother Steve? He just sober and said he had to overcome fear in order to get into Mexico. But now he's ready and raring to go again. You get a hold of that? I'm going to tell you what I told him. I said, "You'll either go or you'll run from it all your life." I'm going to tell you, there's some things you'll either overcome or they'll have you and haunt you and dog you all of your life.
Amen.
There used to be a couple of boys in school, John Fred. My older brother told me one day, he said, "I'm going to tell you what," he said, "I'm going to help you today." But he said, "I'm going to tell you one thing right now." He said, "If you ever run from them again after today, I'll whip you." And I'm going to tell you, he walked off that school bus and just ducked over to the side. And when that one tone boy said, he just turned around like that and said, "Whop!" And the blood went a-rolling. And about a week later, I rounded the corner where both of them birds was. And they started mouthing off. I said, "Come on, buddy. Praise God, I ain't about to run from you no more." I said, "Praise God, we'll just duke it out." All at once, they just put that. I said, "Just forget about it." And they turned around and walked off. Man, I done thought I had to bluff on him. Somebody told me later my brother was standing behind me. That don't stand behind me, son. He stands with me. Hallelujah to God. And he'll help me to overcome the fear in my life that I may walk by him in faith and fear nothing but God.
Amen.
We never get to the point where we fear not man that can destroy the body but has no power to destroy the soul. We'll be Christians sure enough. We learn to fear nobody but him. Brother Gene Mathias, I was talking to him the other day. He said, "Preacher," said, "I was reading this article, this book. I forget where it was from. The country, it might have been China. May have been Vietnam. I forget exactly where he said, but he's talking about these Christians that they have to worship in private, secret, because if they're ever caught, they could be put to death for it." And I said, "Brother Gene, I'd love to read that book." And here's what he said. He said, "I don't know if you would or not." In other words, he said, there's some things in there that would just break your heart to see how other people are treated. But look here. Those people have learned to overcome their fear in order to serve God. And they serve Him by faith. Terrible answers to prayers. "Lord, give me this. Lord, help me with that. Lord, bless me with this." Are you really prepared for that? You really know what you're praying? He may answer your prayers. But it might be in a terrible way that you never believe. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for the help and the grace, the time that we've had to spend together. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of the Word of God. I pray that you'll take it tonight and on this New Year's night, the New Year's Eve night. May God, that you'll move our hearts, serve you in a greater way in the coming year. Help us to overcome these things in our life that Christ may be revealed in us. I pray, Father, that you help us to walk with you, live for you, trust you, believe you. I pray your richest blessings upon us in the coming year. Help us to prosper in our life. Help us to prosper, Lord, spiritually. Help us to prosper, Lord, in this life as well, in this world. I pray you'll give us those things that we stand in need of daily. I do pray you'll save our loved ones, our family. It's lost and without you. And I do pray for the upcoming marathon and revival meeting that God you'd help Brother Elliot as he comes and give him power to preach. Give him wisdom. Anoint him and fill him full of the Spirit of God and power. May the Spirit of the Holy God dwell in this place. Move through this place. Bringing our hearts and lives a little closer to Thee. I pray for the radio marathon that God you'd bless the people out there that listen. Use us to be a blessing to them. Bless us that we might be a blessing. Season our lips with grace. Help us to be wise. Help us to be loving and kind and yet truthful and bold. I pray, O God, you'd help us to labor and not grow weary and faint. Help us in the flesh that our bodies might be strong for the labor that lies ahead. God, I pray that you'll bless us with the finances that's needed in the coming year. And may we reach out in a greater way. May the ministry blossom and bloom and continue to grow. Send it out, preachers, throughout our land and others as well, carrying the Word of God that sinners might be saved. And help us here to be faithful witnesses to Thee, telling every old sinner we can about the grace of God. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Prayer life. Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Got to be saved, sanctified, and burdened in order to pray and pray aright. Praying in the Holy Ghost. God will answer our prayers. We have not because we ask not. We just learn to ask. Just be plain and simple and truthful with God. Pour out our heart to Him. God's able. He knows what we need before we ever ask. He really does.